this too shall pass. Who believes that? It's actually not a scripture. It's actually just a saying. But it comes from Ecclesiastes 3 and 1. But this too shall pass. I really believe that in the seasons we're in, more so than ever before, I'll just put this down for a second, I need to chat. More than ever before, the seasons that we're coming into and the seasons I believe we've already started, the church really needs to be ready more than ever before. We need to be sharp. We need to be on our edge. This last just few weeks, some generals in the house of God have fallen mightily, and it's not going to be the end of it. There's going to be a shaking, and judgment begins in the house of where?
God.
House of the Lord. And He will refine His people. He will have a church without spot or wrinkle. Who believes that? We need to be hooked into Him. We need to be, the prophetic word this morning, we need to be leaning on Him rather than our own strength. We need to know what God wants. We need to have the mindset of God in this hour. And if you're born again here this morning, you have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Amen. The dilemma is that we don't spend enough time with Him to hear. He's forever talking to us. If you're not hearing it this way, you should be hearing it through your word. But we should be hearing the voice of our God in this hour like never before. Because if we don't get hooked up in Him and hear His voice, there's a voice of a stranger that is alluring His people away from the things of God. And that we've seen, I don't know about you, but I've seen over the last few years, specifically more than ever before, a falling away of the faith of people. And they say they believe in God. They say they know God. They say that they don't have to go to church to be a Christian. They believe that they can do what they want to do and God's grace will cover them. That's a lie from the pit of hell. I want to tell you that right now, that's a lie from the pit of hell. If that's the truth, why did He say to the five churches in Revelations, repent? Repent is not something that He puts upon us to make us feel guilty. Repent is a gift. Hear me. It's a gift that releases grace and mercy toward us, that washes our soul and our spirit man to place back inside of me a right spirit with Him. Amen. We need to have a short account on these days like never before. I and you cannot have a victim mentality where we blame others for our predicament and our problems. We must be overcomers in this hour. Your tribulation is not something that's going to be worldwide. You will have a specific tribulation all to yourself. The devil knows what button to press in your life. Hebrews tells me that. It says, for the sin, that so easily besets me. Not a sin, but the sin. That specific area in my life that he knows he can touch, that I will react. Anyone not react to anything in life? We all react. Amen? We all have something that's enduring to us that we need to keep overcoming. Something that we have to take stock of. Something that we have to keep captive. Amen? Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. In other words, I can't work it out, but I've got to still be obedient. I don't understand it, but I still should be obedient. I don't know why, but I still have to be obedient. Because obedience is greater than your sacrifice. He needs obedience from us. So from that childlikeness of faith, he wants me to grow into that son of God. Amen? That carries a weight about him, an anointing on him. And that anointing then flows to your house. Who believes that? It can flow to your house. It can flow through you and from you and through you to your house and your children and your children's children. You can be effective, yet you don't even say a word. Your peace can remain in a house. You can leave a house with your peace. You can release peace. Not of your might or your power, but from the anointing of God and the Spirit of God that is upon you, you can release a peace to bring peace to people's storms. Amen. There was a woman, a great woman of God. There was this woman that showed us what it means to have faithfulness in the midst of a storm. Perseverance in the midst of calamity. Faithfulness when everything was against her. When people even in her own house despised her, she remained faithful. When it was such viciousness, one translation, the BSB actually says, and there was vicious, vehement hate toward her, she remained faithful. And through the years of that trial and testing, she never uttered a word against the person that was speaking against her from her own house. We're going to talk about Hannah this morning, and I want to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 1. Hannah, her name means grace. Hannah was married to a man. Commentaries say she was the first wife of Elkanah, her husband. He married another woman called Peninnah, that woman. Peninnah. Here was the dilemma in this house. He had two women. He loved two women, yeah. Straight away, there's a problem. Hey? We won't go down that strat. We won't go down there. Hallelujah. Two women in his house. Hannah, his first wife. The Bible says he loved her. He loved her. There's only ever twice it's ever mentioned that a man loves his wife. In the Old Testament, it's when Jacob loved Rachel. It says then he loved her. So she was in such high regard with Elkanah that he loved her. But she was barren. She was barren. And she was barren from the Lord. She was barren from the Lord. And Peninnah would be vicious and vindictive toward her. She had children. She had sons and daughters. Doesn't tell us how many she had, but she had sons and daughters. And she would tease and ridicule and push down Hannah year upon year. Peninnah had her husband's children, but Hannah had her husband's heart. When it came to sacrifice, Elkanah always gave Hannah a double portion. He said things like this to her. And that's pretty silly, to be honest. He said, isn't my love greater than 10 sons? Well, she wouldn't know because she hadn't had sons. She was barren. But let's read, shall we? Now there was a certain man in Rephaim, Zophim, of the mountains of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jerome, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuf, the son of an Ephraimite. I should have missed that verse one. It would have been easier. And he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. Hannah's grace. Peninnah literally means abundance. She's a woman of abundance. She had it all. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. This man went up from the city yearly to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. Remember that word, Shiloh. Also, the two sons of Eli and Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. She was in a predicament. She was in a place right now where Israel was on a downward slippery slope. The nation itself. The man went up from there to the city to worship, yearly to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. I've read that. Verse 4, and whenever the time came for Elkanah to make an offering, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah. He loved Hannah. Isn't it amazing you can love someone, but if you think there's a lack, you can look somewhere else. I'll leave that with you for a minute to think. portions to Peniel's wife and all his sons and daughters. Hannah, he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, although the Lord, hear this, the Lord had closed her womb. Next verse, please. And her rival also provoked her severely to make her miserable because the Lord closed her womb. So it was year by year she went up to the house of the Lord and that she provoked her. Therefore, she wept and did not eat. This woman's trial, this Hannah's trial, didn't just last a week. Didn't last a month. This woman's trial lasted years. The problem was that person who was bringing the trial to her was in the house. She couldn't get away. She couldn't get away from her. She was part of the house. Can I have an amen, please? Most Christians' trials are with people in the house. They get offended, they get upset, and not just the house of God. I'm talking about also your literal house. Hallelujah. Thanks for the truth. And what happens is this. You can't escape them. You're stuck. But Hannah teaches us something very, very wise. It's not that the trouble surrounds me. It's how do I respond to my trouble? How to respond to that nasty, vicious, vindictive, corrupt tongue in some people's mouths that all they want to do is have a piece of you instead of blessing you. Instead of bringing up your problem, they should be saying, let's pray. Let's find it. So let's seek God together. Let me uplift you in the midst of your trial. But no. When you think you're better than someone else, you usually want them to know it. The man of the flesh anyway wants them to know it. So it was year by year she went up to the house of the Lord that she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? He might be a good husband, but he's thick. Honestly, thick as two short planks. Why do you not eat? And why is your heart grieved? Am I not better than your 10 sons? Am I not better than 10 sons? And she's looking at him. She goes, I really don't know. Because I haven't had a baby yet. So Hannah arose after that, after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting at the seat of the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul. If you allow words to affect you, they will affect your soul. If you allow bitterness of other people's words come into your spirit or into your soul, they can affect your soul. So what happens is, immediately we come on guard for our own soul and we don't allow people to enter in because you might hurt me. So we guard our hearts. Amen? Which is a wise thing. Don't get me wrong. It's a wise thing. We guard our hearts. But if you've been constantly abused and hurt, your guard is up with everyone. And you won't trust anyone. And usually what happens is you find it hard to trust the Lord. Thanks. So Hannah arose and she finished eating. Now Eli the priest was sitting at the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord, and she wept in anguish. She was in bitterness of soul. She prayed to the Lord. She wept in anguish. Next one, please. Then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed give me, look on the affliction of your maidservant, remember me and do not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child. How specific is her prayer? A male child. A male child. Then I will give him to the Lord, and all the days of his life no razor shall come upon his head. In other words, she now made a vow that her child will follow the things of God. It was a Nazarite vow. No razor shall come upon him, and he shall be a Nazarite or separated unto God all the days of his life. Amen. Footnote hint. As a parent, you've got the right to prophesy over your own children. You have that right. Amen. Samuel was not even born, and she's prophesying over him. And it happened as she continued to pray the Lord that Eli watched her mouth, and now Hannah spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought she was drunk. So Eli said to her, "How long will you be drunk? Put the wine away from you." But Hannah answered and said, "No, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit." This is what happens when there's a delay in the purpose and the promise of God in your life, and all you're hearing is the negativity around you from those who should be uplifting you. And what happens, it dampens and you lose your edge and you become sorrowful in spirit. And what happens with a man that's sorrowful in spirit, they withdraw. They withdraw. "I have not drunk either wine or intoxicating drink, but I poured out my soul before the Lord." She poured out her what? Do you know, sometimes our prayers should be really real. Sometimes I think we come to God when we're praying, and come to God when we're repenting, and we come to God with a premise that I've done wrong, but it's all right because it's just this much. Instead of having a brokenness of heart that I've actually hurt him, that I've actually done wrong, and admit that wrong truthfully, so then he can wash me and restore me to the place where I should be. But if I allow pride to be that premise of not being truthful, do you understand what I'm saying? Sometimes we're not so truthful because we allow pride to say, "Well, it wasn't that bad. I know it was wrong, but it wasn't that bad." But really, what we have to do is be naked and unashamed before him and allow the Holy Ghost to truly restore my soul. Amen? Because all I'm going to do is walk around with a broken and wounded soul. "Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken until now." Then Eli answered, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant you your petition, which you have asked of him." And she said, "Lord, your maidservant find favor in your sight." So the woman went her way, ate, and her face no longer was sad because she had someone that agreed with her that God would bless her and bless her womb. And so often, you know, you get a promise from God, but that promise mightn't be fulfilled in the time frame that you want. In verse 20, it says this, "And in the process of time, Hannah bore a child." Sometimes the promise has to go through the process of a time. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on. Sometimes you can't rush that promise. It has to be going through a process of time until that which is placed in you comes out of you in his time. In his time. "Let your maidservant find favor." Verse 19, "Then they arose early in the morning and worshipped before the Lord and returned and came to the house of Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So it came to pass in the process of time." In the process of, Hannah conceived. In the process of time, God will birth in you what he has promised to you. But you've got to allow this attitude that Hannah had has not been vindictive or vengeful against her pinia. Every one of us has a pinia. Hallelujah. You mightn't think you have, but I guarantee you, you have someone that can rub you up the wrong way really quickly. Just a word or two, and it irks you. You can say amen under your breath. Hallelujah. So we see Hannah come in the picture of the nation of Israel had lost its priesthood. Eli wasn't in control of his own sons. The priesthood was on a downward slope. The lamp of the Lord was growing dim. There was no widespread revelation. They were worshipping their Baals or worshipping their Asherahs. It was a mess. It was a mess. Israel was a mess. And all of a sudden, this woman, this virtuous woman, this righteous woman, this woman of faith started to pray. Mothers, we need to be praying, mums, more than ever before. We need to be standing in the gap for our kids. You need to stand in the gap for those of your grandkids that are not even born yet. You need to start prophesying over them. God needs men like Elkanah, loving on them that are barren, that the promise hasn't come forth, that the purpose isn't ready fulfilled. And instead of being a man of ridicule, we need to be a man of faith, standing with them. Now, really, if Elkanah was really in that place of faith, he wouldn't have found his Peninnah. He would have believed Hannah. But he didn't. He was a little bit like Abram. Find me a Hagar. Amen. Eli was corrupt. His sons were degrading the name of the Lord in the house. It was the need of revival. There was a need of revival. Who believes the church is in need of revival? Who believes that? I believe that with all my heart. The church really needs the breath of heaven to blow back into it and revive it afresh in the things of the Spirit. Amen? It needs to have a testimony like Timothy, where the Lord was showed that to Paul. That it says, and the faith that was in your mother and your grandmother, and now it's in you. Amen. See, faith can go down from generation to generation as long as you speak the word. Amen? Spirit and life. That's right, love. As long as you keep speaking the word, as long as you're holding on to the promises of God, which are yes and amen, and not moved by what you see, not being moved by what you hear, but being moved by the purpose and the promise of God. With all my heart, I believe this. If a Christian mum and dad have a child, they are sealed already. And when they start speaking the word, until they come to the age, that age where they have to make a decision, that word, or that deposit within them will never, ever, ever leave them. It will provoke them. It might even cause them to be a prodigal for a period of time until all of a sudden they come back into their right mind. Their right mind. Amen? Because there's hundreds, if not thousands, of wrong mindsets. Until they come into their right mind. And sometimes you and I are not in control of that. There's some things that you are not in control of. Who believes that? So therefore, I have to allow the process of time to deal with them. Amen? Till that which has been deposited in them comes to fruition. How long that is, I don't know. But one thing I do know, His word does not return void. It will not return to Him empty. Amen? Yet in all this, her name means grace. She was a God seeker who stood in honor and humility and in truth. You will not read anywhere in Samuel where Hannah spoke evil in opposition to Peninnah. Yet for years she was ridiculed and put down. What she did do was this. Every year, she ran to the house of the Lord. Every year, she sacrificed to her God. Every year, she petitioned Him in prayer. Every year, she went back home and had to face what she had to face without speaking against, but keeping her attitude right, keeping her disposition correct, walking holy and righteous, waiting for the purpose and the promise of her God. And all of a sudden, God will reward her. And out of her came something that Israel really needed. Because in the midst of its dilemma, a young boy was born called Samuel, the last judge of Israel. Samuel, the prophet. Samuel, the one from a young age who heard the voice of the Lord. Samuel that wasn't scared to speak the truth. Samuel, the one that prophesied that Eli's house would fall and everything of the priesthood would be taken from him, even though he had a promise from God that there'd be a servant of the house of the Lord from his house all the days, God removed it. There is something locked up inside of every born-again believer that God wants to birth, that should be salt and light to the earth, that would bring change, change to their situation, their surroundings. You are salt, or you're supposed to be, and light. Salt enhances. Salt brings change. Salt can heal. Salt can cleanse. Salt can bring a different flavor to the situation. Amen. Salt and light. He wants the light to shine. He needs the light to shine. A lamp that is hidden under the bushel is useless. Should be set on a table, the Bible says. But the problem with the lamp is this. To be full of light, it has to have what? Oil. Here's the dilemma. 10 virgins. When the bridegroom came, they trimmed their wicks. That's a very, very important part. To trim their wick means once they were alight, so they had to cut off the burnt bit, the excess, to light it afresh. The problem was there was no oil in the lamp. Then the five without the oil said, "Give me some of your oil." The five who had the oil said this, very wise as well, "Go and buy for your..." May I say this morning? To stay full of the oil will cost you something. It's not free. It will cost you something. That means obedience. That means walking with a short account. That means, like Hannah, not taking offense. Even from those inside your own house, not taking offense. A pastor friend of mine, his name was Derek Gitchum. Some of you might know him. He used to say this to me, "David, no matter what the cost," elderly man, "David, no matter what the cost, stay sweet. No matter what the cost, stay sweet." Because it's very easy in the natural to go bitter. Can I have a little amen, a nod, something? It is very easy to go bitter. Very easy. And you will always have those, even in your house, even in the house, that will not lift up your hands in the midst of your trial. They'll want to have a dig because they're not walking in the spirit. They're walking in their flesh. Penaniah wanted the heart of a husband. She couldn't have it. So she got vindictive. She got nasty. She got nasty. And she wanted to have a piece of Hannah every opportunity she had. This happened for Hannah for years. It wasn't a one-time visit to Shiloh. It happened for years. And sometimes, you know, we go through a trial, and if it lasts longer than a week, "Where, God, where are you? God, God, you said you will vindicate me. God, where are you?" The problem is, her barrenness was caused by the Lord. Hannah needed her Peniah. Hannah needed her to bring forth what she should have been. So when God surrounds you with people that aren't necessarily flowing in the same grace and spirit, instead of saying, "God, send them away," or "I rebuke you in the name of Jesus," you know, all these Christianese sayings we have. That can't be the Lord. My Lord loves me too much. I want to burst your bubble this morning. He loves you so much, He will burst your bubble. He will burst your bubble. You have to get real. Sometimes bad things happen to good people. And sometimes you've got no control of them. At all. I did not choose my mum and dad. I've got no control of that whatsoever. Yet so many Christians keep blaming their mum and their dad for their problem. Maybe just as Christians, we should be blaming the choices we make instead of looking for an excuse to blame something else. Maybe as Christians, we should say, you know what, Lord, I was dumb doing that. That was a bad choice. I'm going to give you some wisdom now. You and I are a product of our own decisions. Hear me. You and I are a product of our own decisions. If it's a wrong decision, repent of that. Repent of that. Amen. And pray for the other. Because the Lord had close hand his womb, her rival would provoke her and taunt her viciously. And all she had was the Lord. This woman of faith, all she had to go to, she ran to the house of the Lord because there was no one that could help her barrenness. Elkanah couldn't help her barrenness. He wasn't the problem. Elkanah had fathered other children. He was not the issue. The issue was there was something inside of Hannah that wasn't right. She couldn't conceive. Knowing she was going to be provoked viciously to misery, she clung on to the one and the only one who had an answer to her problem. That's why she ran to the house of the Lord. See, when you start to draw strength from others, when you start to draw your need from another, God will remove that person. Because he will not have another God before him. He will not allow you to lean upon a person more than him. He wants you to lean on him. And even though you can't feel it, and even though you're in a situation that might be years since you've got the answer to your problem, he still wants you to lean on him by faith and be perseverance by prayer and believe God for the breakthrough. And as you believe your God for the breakthrough, suddenly in the process of time, you will birth what he needs you to birth. Or he will give you what you've been petitioning for in your life for the glory of God. She had to endure what's about to occur. She had to sit up. She still went up. Even though she was getting ridiculed, even though she knew Peniel was going to pull her down, she still wanted to get to the house of the Lord. Do you know there's an anointing in the house of the Lord? When a corporate people get together, the Bible says when two or three agree concerning anything on, it shall be done in heaven. There is a need for community which brings an anointing. We need each other. More so today that's coming ahead, we need to be in community one with another. Amen. I need to be in fellowship with you. I need to be rubbing shoulders with you. I need my brother and my sister to lift up my hands in the midst of my battle when I'm weak. I need them to show me where to sit upon the rock. Amen. I need my Aaron and I need my her when I'm tired and when I'm weak. I need them to hold up my hands, say, sit down for a minute, we'll hold up your hands. And while the battle's going, the Lord will prevail. I need that. You need that. We can't afford to be an island in this hour and this day. We need one another. Amen. She was expecting something to happen in her Shiloh. That's why she kept running there. She was expecting something to happen. May I say this? When you come to the house of the Lord, expect something from God. Better bring your gift. You better bring your sacrifice. Because she never came to the house of the Lord empty-handed. She brought something to give to her God. Then she had an expectation for God to move. And yet if he didn't move that year, She wasn't persuaded not to go for the next year. She kept going. She kept knocking. She kept asking. She kept seeking. And she never stopped knocking until that door was opened. We need some good Holy Ghost gumption in the house of the Lord. We need to say, yeah, I'm going to keep on doing. And I'm going to keep on. I refuse to lose my edge. I refuse to allow my faith to dry up. I refuse to allow my hope to be despaired. No matter what's speaking to me, I am going to stand and doing all to stand therefore in the faith and the hope of my God. Hallelujah. She expected something to happen in Shiloh. She came to the house to give. She came to worship. She came to receive. She had developed faith to endure. He who endures to the end shall be saved. There's an endurance in salvation. Amen. Away with this. Well, I've said the prayer. False gospel. Well, I've said the prayer, I'm saved. No. You've said the prayer, you've acknowledged Him. Now you're on the road to salvation. Amen. Then it's got to be worked out with fear and trembling. Hallelujah. Next one, please. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. Hannah had built a trust in the Lord. Hannah had not just built a trust in the Lord, she built a faithfulness in her God. She was determined that nothing would come out of her mouth that was contrary to the truth. She realized she wasn't fighting flesh and blood. She realized everyone's going to have to face a Peniah. It says in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall what? And how many ways you shall acknowledge Him? In all your ways. He wants to be involved in everything you do. He wants to be involved in every decision you make. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Psalm 30 says this, 8, 11, and 12. I cry to the Lord. I cry out to you, O Lord, and the Lord I made supplication. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness. And to the end that my glory may sing praise to you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. That's actually a song we used to sing in the old days. O Lord, my God. We did that this morning. I thought I heard it. But it's the truth. I cried out to the Lord. Instead of crying out my issue to the person, and my, you shouldn't treat me like that. You, how dare you? And asking God to get rid of that person, asking God to vindicate you. Instead of saying that, worship Him. Let your mouth bring it forth sweet waters. Amen. Don't concentrate on the problem. Seek the solution. The problem will want to distract you all the time. Wanting you to move in the flesh. Amen. Psalm 30 verse 5 says this. For His anger is but for a moment, His favor is for life. His favor is for how long? Hallelujah. His favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. If I'm enduring what God wants me to endure, if I overcome my Peniah in life, Galatians 6 and 9 says this, let us not grow weary while doing good. Weariness is a trap. Anyone ever been weary in spirit? Man, I tell you, sometimes you wake up and you're already tired. You've just opened your eyes and that was enough. Your first blink, and you go, oh my God, I want to go back to sleep. Anyone have that? Now there's some more hands for that, you see. How many hands went up then? Okay. Just blinking was wearisome. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Ecclesiastes 3 and 1. To everything there is a season, there is a time, every purpose under heaven. Amen. There's a season, there's a time. We need to learn from our Hannah. We need to learn to walk by grace. We need to learn not to walk by sight. We need to learn to turn a blind ear to those negative things. Amen. Number one thing you can learn from Hannah. We're going to wrap it up. Number one thing you can learn from Hannah, be prayerful. Be prayerful. May I encourage you? We start prayer at 9:30 here in the morning, and it's getting less and less and less people. Now, I purposely don't have a prayer meeting during the week because it's another night for people to go out. But we need to be praying people. We need to be praying together. And don't forget 8 o'clock, 8 p.m. prayer time. But we need to be praying together. Amen. We need to be persistent in prayer. It says in 1 Samuel chapter, verse 10 and 12, it says this. There was bitterness of soul, and she prayed to the Lord. Immediately when that bitterness came upon her, when her soul got bitter, when her soul tasted the venom of Pinhah, she prayed. Now, it didn't say she complained. She prayed. In verse 12, it says this, and it happened as she continued praying to the Lord, she continued in prayer. And that prayer can sometimes take a period of time, a process of time, but if you continually keep praying, believing what is inside of you, God wants to get out of you, you will have your breakthrough. Hannah persistently prayed to her God for the things that Pinhah was doing to her. But not for the things Pinhah was doing to her, but for the dream that was inside of her. I'm going to ask you something. What is your dream? What's your dream? When things were not going to plan, or the outcome is not what we would like, it's easy to stop praying. It's so easy to stop. Well, nothing's really happening. Oh, well, my wife's asleep. What's the point? Lord, I'm the only faithful one in the house. Oh, when she says to me, let's pray. And immediately I say, oh, darling, I'm a bit tired now. And I've then distract her from praying. So prayer dries up in the house. And yet the TV box is on, flicking between the channels of life. That brings death. Death to your joy. Second thing to remember, when we're seeking God, come as you are. I want to say that again. Come as you are. Do you know how many times I went to God and said, God, I feel like beep, beep, beep. I feel like this. Naked and unashamed. God, this is how I'm feeling. And you come to Him real, because He's a real God. And He already knows how you feel. Hannah prayed, and she didn't hold back. It says she poured out her soul to the Lord. Third thing we have to do is remember God's faithfulness. It's what steers the ship. It's the rudder in my storm. He's a good God who does good things. I'm going to say that again. He's a good God who does good things. You mightn't like the destination it takes you, but it's for your good. Because all good things come from God. And all things will work out together for my good. Most important one. Speak victory despite the opposition. What's coming out of my mouth? James says it like this, and out of your mouth comes forth bitter and sweet waters. These things ought not to be so. One minute, praise God, hallelujah, amen, glory to God. She is such a piece of work. Hallelujah. Bitter and sweet waters. I'm not against, my fight is not Pinhah. My fight is not against Pinhah. My fight is against that which is holding back the dream. I don't fight flesh and blood. She is not my issue. Amen? I need to be a man of a different spirit. All of you and I will face our pinyas through our life. Some will last days, some will last weeks, some can last years. But if you've got a passion for the purpose and the things of God, you get to your Shiloh, the presence of the Lord. Lean not on your own understanding. Be careful what comes out of your mouth. Praise Him in season and out of season. Amen. In your day or your night season, you worship Him and thank Him. And out of your belly shall flow rivers of doesn't say dead. It says living water coming out of your mouth. And allow that water to wash them. They were washed by the water of the Word of God. Amen. There is no problem insurmountable for your God. I want to say that again. There is no problem insurmountable for your God. But your problem can be used, your pinyah can be used to cause you to become what He's fashioning you to become. So instead of running away from your pinyah, face it. Speak to your mountain. Amen. Let's stand this morning. God is looking for more Hannahs to birth something in this season we're in. Israel was a mess. The house of God was a mess. The priesthood was a mess. Phinehas and Hophni were sleeping around. They were a mess. Eli would not bring correction to the house. And the glory of the Lord departed. The ark was taken by the Philistines. They touched something they shouldn't have touched. They minimized something of God they shouldn't have done. And that's horrific. But I don't want to shock you. It's happening today. It's happening today in the world. The church is not in the place she should be. God is looking for a remnant people that will stand on the truth, lift up the standard of the Lord, face their pinyas, amen, and come forth as refined gold. Hallelujah. With their vessel full of the oil, ready to burn brightly for the kingdom of God. Salt that has saltiness. Amen. Hallelujah. I didn't say that to scare you, but I'm just telling you the facts. There's a great warfare happening. If you don't feel it, God help you, but there's a warfare in the spirit that is happening against the house of God. Governments want to pull down churches. They want to remove the effectiveness of the name of Jesus. Schools, wokeism, LGBTQ. Do you think they're just happening? They're all a ploy, a strategy of the darkness of the devil himself. He wants to infiltrate the house of God so the house of God becomes supple and inclusive in all this garbage that is happening around the world. So the standard of the Lord is no longer lifted up. What we want now is a club. Give me the lights. Give me the fog. Give me the shout. Give me the fuzz and the bubble. Make me feel good, but walk away empty. So I'm going on. In Isaiah, it says this. And she was, since she was pregnant, I think it's chapter 60. It says that she was pregnant, but all she brought forth was wind. A phantom pregnancy. All the showing of life. But all it was wind. You and I should be pregnant with life. Just like Elizabeth when she met her Lord. And the babe what? Leapt in her womb. Glory to God. You and I should be pregnant with the life of Christ within us. Hallelujah. The world is looking for the sons at this hour like never before. Says in fact, the world is said it's groaning, waiting for the manifestation of the what? The manifestation of the sons of God. The world is waiting. I'll tell you someone else who's waiting. His name is Jesus Christ. He's waiting. So he can empower them in this hour like never before. That they can carry an anointing that has never been seen like that for centuries. I believe that. Every eye closed, every head bowed this morning. Hallelujah. I don't know what penny you're facing, but I want to tell you now, your God has given you the victory. Everything you need for victory is already inside of you. It's locked up inside of you. You've got the grace to overcome already. You have the power to overcome already. Hallelujah. But God's saying to you this morning, don't concentrate on the problem. Seek me the solution. Seek me the solution. Watch what's coming out of your mouth. For life and death are in the power of your tongue. You want something to die? Shut up. You want something to live? Prophesy to the bones. Hallelujah. If you need reviving this morning, if you need a Hannah experience this morning, if you need to come forth as a Hannah this morning, God is calling you forth. Be ready. Get ready to be pregnant with the things of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Carriers of the anointing. Carriers of His glory. Carriers of His presence. That's what I mean by that. Carriers of the anointing. Carriers of His glory. Carriers of His presence. So when people come and meet you, there's a leaping inside of them. Hallelujah. If that's you this morning, you raise your hands before your Lord. Your Lord, your God. Father, you see our hands raised this morning. Father, our cry this morning is we want more of you. Father, we need more of you. We need a move of your Spirit. Father, we don't want to play church. We want to be your church. We want to move like in the book of Acts that your Spirit moved. And all power, all authority. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus. Equip us today as your people. Let the anointing fall afresh upon us. Breathe into us, Holy Spirit. We need the breath of heaven. We ask you in the name of Jesus, change me. Change me. That I refuse to react to my penia. That I will persevere in faith. Be strong in hope. And in love. And in joy. In the presence of the Holy Ghost. For all your glory. All your honor and all your praise. That you might be glorified. Prepare us as a people in this hour we're living in, Father, to lift up the standard of the Lord. Strengthen our arms. Cause my mouth to be a trumpet. Cause my walk to be a testimony for the glory of your kingdom. And if that's you this morning, you shout an amen to your God. Hallelujah. He's a good God. Hear me, He's a good God. Hallelujah. We're just going to give thanks this morning. If you need prayer, I'll pray with you at the front. I want to be specific this morning about prayer. Don't come to me about a headache. Seriously. I mean, if your headache's been a couple of weeks, yeah, come. But if it isn't, have a discipline. All right? Let's get real. But if your soul is vexed, see me. If you're struggling with your penia, see me. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's pray for our food, shall we? Father, we ask you to bless the food that's before us. We ask you, Father, to nourish our bodies. Turn all fat into fiber in the name of Jesus. Father, help us, my God. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a good week, successful week in Jesus' name. Amen.